This morning, my mind is on a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 2, and I'd like to read to you this morning the last two verses of Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul would say, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Now that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Somebody's crucified and yet living. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." May God bless the reading of his word this morning and bless me to expound on these verses. Paul would say to the Galatians, "I am crucified with Christ." In what sense was the Apostle Paul crucified with Christ? We know there is no record in Scripture that he was physically crucified the day Jesus was crucified. There were two men who were crucified with Jesus, two thieves, but the Apostle Paul was not physically nailed to a cross and crucified with Jesus. So what does he mean when he says, "I am crucified with Christ"? And by the way, he doesn't say, "I was crucified." "I am crucified with Christ." Now, beloved, my understanding of this statement, "I am crucified with Christ," applies to all of us here today who are God's children. You and I too am crucified with Christ. But in what sense? Well, one of the key expressions in the Bible is that term "in Christ." I want us to think about that just a moment this morning. In Christ. What does that mean? That expression is used dozens of times in the New Testament. It's one of the keys that unlocks the New Testament. In Christ. There's only two places to be: in Christ or outside of Christ. Now, the Bible constantly uses that term, "in Christ." And this morning, I could refer to a number of those, but I want to refer to just one this morning. And we'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. "But of him," now the "him" there refers to God the Father. "But of God the Father are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now, when we refer to that expression, "in Christ," your mind might immediately ask the question, "Well, I'd like to be in Christ, but how do I get in Christ? How does a person get in Christ?" Well, according to this verse, you don't get into Christ on your own, but God the Father places you in Christ Jesus. Are y'all with me now? Listen to the text. "But of God the Father are ye in Christ Jesus." God the Father places us in Christ Jesus. Now, of course, this is figurative language. He doesn't physically put us into the body of Jesus Christ, when Jesus, in the body that Jesus was in when he was here on earth. But God the Father places us in his Son, as far as the covenant of grace is concerned. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Many of our dear brethren in the religious world would say that you've got to believe in Jesus in order to be in Jesus. You've got to pray the sinner's prayer in order to get into Jesus. In other words, here's a person that's outside of Jesus, but if he'll just believe in Jesus, then he can be in Jesus. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God the Father puts us in Jesus Christ. But of God are you in Christ Jesus. You and I don't believe our way in. We don't work our way in. No, God the Father places us in his Son. And I've illustrated this a lot through the years. And I found out a long time ago that until I find a better illustration for something, I need to stick with the illustration I've got. And I'm going to share with you all an illustration that I've used many times, and you all have probably seen me do it. But you might have forgotten it. But if you haven't forgotten it, you might need a refresher course. Now, I've got a piece of black paper here. You all see this. I'm going myself to put this piece of black paper in my Bible. Now, I want to ask a very simple question. Did the paper put itself in the book, or did I put it in the book? Now, that's a simple question. You all saw me put it in the book. The paper didn't put itself in the book. Well, our text says God the Father put us in Jesus Christ. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. God the Father put us in Christ. Now, let's notice the text. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, one of our favorite chapters in all the Bible, he would say in the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Did y'all hear that? There is no condemnation now, right now, to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, we've, I think, proven from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that it's God the Father that puts us in his Son, Jesus Christ. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be in Christ? And by the way, here's a question that you may be asking. Brother Sam, who does God the Father put in his Son? Well, he puts those that he loved before the foundation of the world in his Son, the elect. Amen. Paul would say, and here's a good expression. Y'all might want to make a note of this if you're interested in this subject. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul would say to the Ephesians, according as God hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen to that. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. God chose us. And he made the choice before the foundation of the world. Now, let's think about that a moment. According as God hath chosen us, when did he choose us to be his children? When we accepted him? When we joined the church? When we were baptized? When we believed in him? No. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Did you know there were things going on before the foundation of the world? Now that's going way back before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. That's going way back before God created Adam and Eve or even created the angels. In eternity, God, having all knowledge and all power, looked down through time. He's outside of time, but he can look down through time, and he chose those that he loved. And he chose them before the foundation of the world. And our text says, according as he hath chosen us in Christ. There you are, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. So God has an elect people. And they were going to fall in Adam's sin. And they were all going to become sinners. And they were going to be guilty before God. And that includes me. That includes you. We were all in Adam. And we fell in Adam. But God chose us before the foundation of the world and put us in his Son. Who did God the Father put in his Son? The elect, the chosen. Now you may say, Brother Sam, who are the chosen? Well, I want to tell you, I've never looked at the Lamb's Book of Life, but I have read what the Bible says about God's elect family. It's an innumerable host that no man can number. We're not talking about the frozen chosen. We're not talking about a handful. We're talking about a multitude as numerous as the sand of the sea and the stars in heaven. You know, it's interesting when God was talking to Abraham and giving him some idea about who was going to be blessed through his seed. And by the way, his seed was going to be Jesus Christ, the Savior, born of the Virgin. And God was showing Abraham how many were going to be blessed through Jesus Christ. How did God show Abraham how many was going to be blessed? He pointed him to two things that are beyond counting. And you know what those two things were? The sand by the seashore and the stars of heaven. Have y'all ever tried to count sand? I mean, it would take a long time to count a handful of sand. And God says to Abraham, my children that are going to be blessed through Jesus Christ are as numerable as the sand by the sea and also as numerous as the stars of heaven. Now, why would God compare stars and sand as being innumerable? You know, until we got modern telescopes, astronomers didn't believe there were much more than like 1,000 or 1,200 stars in the sky. That was all the natural eye could see. Now, with the Hubble telescope and this new telescope that they sent out into outer space, they're beginning to find out there are billions and billions and billions of stars that we could never imagine. In the Milky Way, there are multiplied billions and billions of stars. There are even astronomers who are today wondering if there aren't as many stars in the heaven as there are grains of sand on earth. Now, who would have ever imagined that? And let me tell you, stars are big. The earth, the planet you and I own, is very small compared to most of the stars. We're like 93 million miles from our sun. It would take a while to get to the sun if you were on the fastest moving space shuttle there is. And I heard the other day that the nearest star to the planet Earth is like 200,000 light years away. Let me tell you, folks, this universe is big. It's gigantic. And God made it all. He said, let it be, and it was so. And let me tell you all this morning about the stars. As the astronomers are beginning to learn more about the stars, they say it's like the stars in the heavens are in a gigantic dance. Have y'all ever seen a ballroom dance on TV and everybody's in his place and they're dancing and whirling around? Astronomers say it looks like the stars are in a gigantic dance in the heavens. And God keeps them all right in their place. We worship an awesome God. Just looking at this little tiny earth we live on is overwhelming. What about y'all? I'm amazed at this good earth. But brother, it's a tiny little speck as far as the universe is concerned. And our God made it all. And when God was talking to Abraham and telling him how many people are going to be blessed through Jesus Christ, he said they're as numerous as the sand and the stars. So if anybody ever tells you that old Baptists don't believe many is going to heaven, just a few, you can tell them that's not true. That's a false charge against us. Somebody said one time, Brother Sam, you're just preaching a handful is going to heaven. I said, well, now if you're talking about God's hand, amen. It's a big hand. I think we ought to get excited about this. What about y'all? Right here on New Year's Day, 2023, we worship an awesome God. He created it all. And let me tell you, he gives you life and breath every day, but he's got something a lot better in store for you and me than what we're enjoying this morning. I'm having a good time. I had a good time yesterday. I was still weak from being sick, but I still had a big time just being with all of you and singing the hymns and watching Brother Bryce teach music. I'm enjoying life, but I want to tell you what you and I are enjoying today is not to be compared with what our Heavenly Father has prepared for us in another world. And you know how we're going to get there? Because we're in Christ. God the Father put us in Christ. Who did he put in Christ? The great multitude that he chose before the foundation of the world. Out of every nation, every language, every family on the face of this earth, God has a people. Now, Paul would say, I am crucified with Christ. How could you and I be crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago? Because we were in him. Representatively, you and I were in him. So when he died on that cross, you and I died with him because we were in him. Do y'all get that? All right, I put this paper in the Bible. Now, let's say, y'all follow me now. I'm going to take this book and put it in a box, and I'm going to bury it in the earth for 3 days. I'm going to bury the book. Do you know what's going to happen to this piece of paper? It's going to be buried too because it's in the book. Y'all, that's simple. We're talking about first grade here. Maybe kindergarten. Right? That young preacher yesterday asked me, he said, Brother Sam, when you were a young preacher starting out, he's 20. He said, was there anything you'd like to have known then that you know now? I said, well, I wrote in my Bible years ago in the front of it, the acronym KISS, K-I-S-S. Y'all remember what that means? It means keep it simple, salesman. Salesmen need to understand that people need it presented simply if you're trying to sell them something. Somebody changed and said, keep it simple, stupid. I put that in my Bible. And then my children come along and write, keep it short, Sammy. I want to keep it simple for y'all this morning and try to keep it short. But listen, if I put the paper in the book and I bury the book, you know the paper's going to be buried. Well, let's say 3 days later I dig it up and I put it in another parcel and I write a London, England address on it, put the right postage and put it in the mail. You know where the book is going? It's going to London. Well, you know where the paper's going? It's going to London. Now listen, God the Father put you in his Son before the foundation of the world. So when he died, you died with him. And when he was buried, you were buried with him. And when he arose again, you arose with him. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now Paul would say, I am crucified with Christ. Well, that was a head scratcher for me for a long time. What does he mean? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, some of us in the building are old enough to remember the day that John F. Kennedy was shot and killed in Dallas, Texas. A lot of these kids, I bet you've heard about it. But it was assumed that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin. Y'all remember that? He was caught. He was arrested. He was put in jail in Dallas. He was assumed to be the murderer. Well, now that would have been the trial of the century, wouldn't it? I mean, if Lee Harvey Oswald had lived and they'd had a trial, let me tell you, that would have been the trial. That would have been more interesting than O.J. Simpson's trial. That was an incredible event, the assassination of our president. But you know what? Lee Harvey Oswald didn't live to be tried. You know why? Because a man named Jack Ruby, it's on TV, they had cameras on it. When they brought Lee Harvey Oswald out of the jail in Dallas, Jack Ruby, a mysterious character, comes up with a gun and shoots Lee Harvey Oswald and kills him. You say, now, Brother Sam, what has all this got to do with the gospel? Got a lot to do with it. Lee Harvey Oswald was never tried. You say, well, Brother Sam, if he killed the president, shouldn't he have been tried? No, because he was killed. And you don't try dead men. You don't take dead men to the courtroom and prosecute them, do you? If they're dead, they're dead, and you're not going to be able to prosecute them. Well, here's my point this morning. If you and I, as the elect of God, were in Jesus when he died on that cross, we've been prosecuted and found guilty and died with our representative, Jesus. Now, some of y'all are looking puzzled, so I'm not making it simple, am I? Let's back up. I am crucified with Christ. If I died, why did Jesus die? He died for your sins and my sins. He paid the sin debt with his death. Now, if I died with him, I won't ever be judged again. Some people say, now there's a judgment coming and you better have enough good works to get you into heaven. Because God's going to judge you. And if you don't have more good works than bad works, you're going to hell. If that's true, we're all going to hell. Y'all do know that, don't you? We are sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the good news. You and I were in Christ when Christ died. And we died with him. And that's all the law can demand. So you and I will never be judged. We'll never have to stand before God and answer for our sins because our Savior stood in our place. I am crucified with Christ. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. You'd say, Brother Sam, why did God put us in Christ? Can you think of a better place for him to put us? Where would you have rather been put? The Apostle Peter, Jude says that we are sanctified by God the Father. That is, God the Father chose us, sanctified us, set us apart in the covenant as the elect. We are sanctified by God the Father and preserved where? In Jesus Christ. Now, the sisters here this morning that have ever preserved fruit or vegetables, you know the importance of putting those preserves in a clean container. I remember being in the kitchen when my mama would be scalding jars that she was going to use to preserve figs or peaches or whatever. In other words, if that jar that you're going to put the peaches in is defiled, if it's got bacteria in it, did you know the preservation won't take place? Come on now, that's, the sisters can get that. y'all get it? If the container is dirty, the food will never preserve. If you ever open up a can of peaches or whatever that you've preserved and it's spoiled, you can know one thing, it was never preserved. Because if it's preserved, it'll keep. But you want to preserve it. It doesn't matter what you're preserving. If the container you're preserving it in is not clean, it won't work. Well, I want to tell you, God the Father put us in His Son. And I'm glad to tell you all this morning, His Son was free from sin. You and I have been preserved in Jesus Christ. And we're going to keep for all eternity. How many of y'all this morning believe that you are safe in Jesus Christ? I do. And I'm just waiting for Him to come back. You know, and He is coming back. The Bible makes that very clear. Now, I heard the other day this, I thought this was most interesting. You remember that expression, "That's all, folks"? That was at the end of Bugs Bunny and the Road Runner. That's all, folks. The man whose voice was used for that had a real talent. When he died in California a while back, you know what he wanted on his tombstone? "That's all, folks." As if to imply, now I don't know much about the man. I don't know if he's just trying to be funny. Probably not. The idea, I think, was, that's it. When you die, that's it. That's all, folks. There's no life beyond this life. That's all, folks. Wouldn't that be sad? We're only here for a moment. I heard about an old lady in Louisiana. Somebody found her grave. And it just had one word on it. And you know what that one word was? Waiting. I love that. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come back. Y'all can put that on my tomb, Elder. I wouldn't mind that on my tomb. Waiting. I'm just waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. How about y'all? It's a wonderful way. Now here's the thought, and I want to close. I did say keep it short, Sammy. I told this young brother yesterday, I said, I'm trying my best to practice that. Because you can't say it all in one sermon anyway. But I want to tell you, I believe because of the fact that we're in Christ and we died with Him on the cross and He paid our sin debt in full and He's coming back to get us, I believe all of that is glorious. And we're going to go someday to a world not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. But here's the thing. I want to enjoy where I am right now on my way to where I'm going. Are y'all with me? Some people just sit around and think about heaven itself. Heaven is glorious, but God isn't ready for us yet. Old Elder Monsees, we were talking some about him yesterday. He helped to compile the first old school hymnal. I got to know Elder Monsees and loved him dearly. But when I met him, he was an old man. He had been pastoring Bethany Church in Atlanta. And I remember Brother Monsees saying to me one day, he said, "Brother Bryant," he said, "I've got more friends in heaven than I've got on earth." Well, he's in his 80s. You know, I'm just 74, and I could probably say that. I got a lot of friends in heaven. But God is leaving me here for some reason. Now, I want to know what that reason is, and I want to enjoy where I am on my way to where I'm going. I rode a bus one time to the Grand Canyon with a group of senior citizens. I tell you, if you've never been on a trip with a group of senior citizens, you hadn't really lived fully. I mean, they got lifetimes of stories to tell. It was wonderful. And all the way to the Grand Canyon, I enjoyed looking out the window. I was looking forward to going to the Grand Canyon, but I enjoyed on my trip to the Grand Canyon. Are y'all with me? I'm on my way to heaven today by God's grace, but I want to enjoy my trip through this world. What about y'all? I enjoy looking out the window. I enjoy being with y'all. Let's enjoy life right now. Are y'all with me? Let's not just get into mully grubs and let the devil rob us of our joy right now. Let's enjoy life. Now, I want to tell you, Brother Bryce preached on last night on the text, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." Brother, let me tell you, a lot of us, instead of seeking after one thing, we're dabbling in 40 or 50 things. And life gets complicated. And let me tell you, sin complicates your life. People think, them poor Christians, they're missing out. None of them got drunk last night. Whoo! A lot of them suffering this morning, I can tell you. Let me tell you, if you're following Jesus Christ, you're not missing out on any good thing. I think about some of the kids I grew up with in school, and they didn't commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it was sad. Don't let the devil and the world and the flesh tell you you're missing out because you're trying to follow Jesus. It's a good life. It's a wonderful life. Let's live it to the fullest. And let's get rid of those old grudges. If Sister Fran won't mind me sharing, she sent me the best text this morning. I shared it with a lot of y'all. And the idea was, we're boarding flight 2023. All aboard. Old lady up in North Georgia, 90 years old, sent me a text right before we got to church. "I'm glad to be on this flight." But to enjoy the flight, you need to lay aside all your baggage, your grudges. How many of y'all got baggage today that you don't need? One time when I was going to Africa, I had a lot of baggage. I took my food with me. I took a lot of clothes. I had two gigantic suitcases. I had two carry-ons. And I missed this flight in Atlanta. We had to come back. The engine caught on fire. We had to come back to Atlanta and had to spend the night in a hotel that the airport provided. And let me tell you, they gave me the tiniest room in Atlanta, I believe. And I had to carry all my luggage with me in a little taxi car over to that motel. And they had one luggage rack. I loaded up those two gigantic suitcases, the two carry-ons in that little luggage cart, finally got it into a tiny little elevator, got up to the room, and the room was so tiny I could hardly shut the door. And I know y'all are thinking that can't be so, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. And I was wishing at that moment, I wish I didn't have all this baggage. How much are y'all carrying around today in your mind, your memory that you don't need? That's just burdening you down. Old hurt feelings. Let them go. You say, "I can't." Jesus will show you how to do it. He hung on that cross and said, "Father, forgive them." Oh, we've got a great Savior, hadn't we? Just lighten up. Come on. Well, to keep it short, I'm going to have to stop. God bless you all.